Illusions of Permanency, as two parties rage over attitudes, delegates, and whether they have the right stuff for the general election, the mass of U.S. voters is entertained, confused, occasionally outraged, but always perplexed. It's hard to know what is right or wrong anymore. This campaign has had more talk of overweening ambition and treason than a meeting between Aaron Burr and Benedict Arnold. But has it ever occurred to our permanent political class, like Paul Ryan, that they were meant to be temporary? Meanwhile, many hand-wringing souls breathlessly claim the entire fate of the free world hangs in the balance, while the outcome will undoubtedly be ingested by many like so much sour grapes. Is it okay to get a candidate to promise to not run a third party and then launch an effort to steal the election from him if he wins? Going state to state to wrangle delegates is the name of that game. And one can hardly blame Bernie Sanders for feeling slighted when states where he won by more than 80%, he is still losing in the delegate count. On a more surreal note, with Glenn Beck as his witness, Ted Cruz cannot state he has not cheated on his wife. This is despite his outrage at the Inquirer's five-girlfriend story. In the meanwhile, various celebrities and famous ministers claim Ted was born, bred, and anointed for the U.S. presidency. You know, to save America? Well, maybe the overly zealous and highly religious Cruz took a page out of the story of David and Bathsheba and decided to get some horizontal R&R before he has to knuckle down to the Oval Office. Of course, I'm sure Donna will brandish her magic wand and remove all of Ted's stains that might keep him from being a statesman. And by the way, this all erupted only when Ted's super PAC published nude pictures of Donald Trump's wife. And yet it seems like it was only last year when Beck claimed Mrs. Trump did lesbian porn. Wait, that was last year. Of course, this would be all the more entertaining if ISIS were not sharpening its knives and building its bombs while bragging about how they plan to wipe out a mass of Jewish kids. Apparently, the Muslim God enjoys hearing the cries of Rachel wailing for her children. This, in the midst of routinely blowing up random Europeans and Americans and Africans and Middle Easterners to smithereens. So, will Hillary get indicted and Sanders get 15 more minutes of fame? Will the Donald fight off delegate-stealing ghouls to finally wrest the presidency away from the pretenders? Stay tuned, sports fans. Good morning, Kelly here. It is 6:09, the 29th day of March, and I do have something for you. We have a weather warning. Strong winds returning to this area in the afternoon and night. A strong Pacific storm now over the Pacific Northwest and over the Great Basin will move out over the Midwest Wednesday. Winds will increase this afternoon as the upper low and surface front approaches this area. Widespread blowing dust is expected through desert areas and along the I-10 corridor of Las Cruces. Winds will be a little bit stronger on the east slopes. And high wind warning will remain from noon today till 6 a.m. tomorrow. And strong gusts later and early tomorrow. Southwest winds of 20 miles per hour Tuesday morning will increase to 30 to 40 miles per hour this afternoon. Gusts of 50 to 60 miles per hour should be expected. This could and certainly will create difficult handling conditions for motorists. Blowing dust could drop visibility briefly below 1 mile across desert areas. So be forewarned there. All right. There's just a lot of intrigue going on out there. These guys are all fighting for delegates. And I think one of the things that Paul Ryan should be aware is that House races tend to be smaller affairs than Senate, and it wouldn't take a ton of money to get a lot of advertising. And if somebody created a super PAC to take him out, then it's not going to be an easy reelection for him, even though he is a very popular person in his home state, I believe. But Don't forget that Eric Cantor was primaried. And Eric Cantor was young, handsome, well-spoken, but he stepped on the wrong person's toes. Too many times he upset the Tea Party and they finally got rid of him. And now you got Paul Ryan making the same mistake. And here's an article from Politico. Trump bringing GOP civil war to Paul Ryan's background. The billionaire's Janesville rally Tuesday kicks off a week-long scramble for delegates, momentum, and the future of the Republican Party. So as I had mentioned in the opening, what they're doing now is going back into states and fighting for delegates in states that have already voted. Which I know sounds crazy, but this whole race has been crazy. And, you know, you've got these people on the in the party who act like are, you know, they act like they're carrying this incredible legacy and they're, you know, they're fighting for the, you know, it's like the Civil War or something, you know, they're fighting for the South and the right to have slaves or something. And they're so self-righteous and really they're just self-interested people who are trying not to lose their jobs, knowing that Trump is not going to owe anybody anything when he gets into office, which must be a strange feeling, you know, going to elect somebody in a political arena that doesn't. And I'm not saying, of course, as I've said this a million times, I'm not saying that Trump is perfect, but it's kind of refreshing, isn't it? All right, so we've got, obviously, Walt Rubel coming in at 7, so we don't have a lot of, you know, 45 minutes or whatever, but the situation in Hillary's, her bailiwick or whatever they call it, is getting more interesting. She's in the midst of this investigation, and something really crazy is happening out there. I know that when I play this little clip for you, you're going to remember it. But there's doubling down. And I got into an argument with Mike McKay, my boss, over whether, and I'm hoping the dreaded freeze up on my machine doesn't happen now that I've made the mortal sin of opening too many windows, but into an argument with Mike over whether Bill Clinton meant to insult Barack Obama about his awful legacy. And I just really weird, because my impression was he was going after Obama. And in addition to that he was probably enjoying the daylights out of it. And McKay comes up and tells me, well, you know what? It was a mistake. It was a mistake. What he really meant was, he meant the 7 dreadful years of GOP obfuscation. And I said, where's that implied in those statements? And he said, you've just got to read it in the bigger picture. And so I just so frustrated that people are not willing to believe that somebody in the party would actually go after somebody else. But here is for what Bill had said, but I found this refreshing. I found it to be somewhat astonishing, because what I'm getting back to round the circle off here, Bill Clinton's wife is on the verge of getting indicted by the Department of Justice. If she does do that, she goes down, which would be payback for many things for Obama. At the same time, it would blot out his legacy, because Sanders would win, and they say Sanders is unelectable in the general. So here's Bill Clinton taking pot shots at President Obama. Check it out. You've heard it.
Intended for it to work. Now, if you don't believe we can all grow together again, if you don't believe we're ever going to grow again, if you believe it's more important to relitigate the past, there may be many reasons that you don't want to support. But if you believe we can all rise together, if you believe we've finally come to the point where we can put the awful legacy of the last 8 years behind us and the 7 years before that, when we were practicing trickle-down economics and no.
All right. So and somebody was saying he made a mistake. I don't think Bill Clinton's a smart guy. I don't think he ever makes mistakes. I think everything he does is calculated. Check this out. This is another statement that he's made.
Democracy 2016, tonight we are taking action to fact check a former president. ABC 15's Dave Iskoming investigates the claim that most of us haven't had a pay raise in 8 years.
Politicians swarm Arizona to energize and influence voters. Even Bill Clinton showed up to stump for his wife.
People in both parties are upset by the fact that 80% of the American people haven't gotten a pay raise since the crash.
But is it true? We put it through a PolitiFact truth check. And according to the Economic Policy Institute, between 2007 and 2014, 80% of workers did not get a raise. Some even lost money. The same report shows wages did go up slightly in 2015, but that doesn't make Clinton's statement false because it was a one-time drop in inflation.
Don't necessarily look for big spikes up or down, but you kind of want to look at the trend line. And when it comes to wages in the United States, the trend line has been relatively flat for a relatively long period of time.
So PolitiFact rates Bill Clinton's pay raise claim as mostly true.
Well, anybody who's been alive in America in the last 10 years realizes the economy has struggled. And the only way that Obama could continually get away with this was initially blaming it on Bush. And then in the second term, he kind of got, you know, people got sick of him blaming everything on Bush, which was ridiculous in the first place, that Bush created every problem that we have. And instead of solving the problems, we need to blame Bush. In the second half, though, you know, the second run of this second term, and from the very beginning, Obama has been protected by the press. And for President Clinton to come out, who has the greatest bona fides, who has the greatest reputation in the party, for him to come out and say that the economy sucks is terrible for Obama, because it inserts into the news cycle this idea that even other Democrats have noticed what a terrible economy it's been. And I mean, overall, it has just been so demoralizing in these last 8 years. You know, it really has been. You know, I don't know what else to say. I think that, you know, it's to have somebody who's not enthusiastic about you running the country, and at the same time, the media, you know, blocking and tackling, carrying water and totally protecting this guy so that the truth doesn't come out. If the truth comes out, it just comes out briefly. And then everything goes back to status quo. What a great president he's been. And he's just ruined the economy permanently. When somebody else gets in office, the economy is going to start growing because people don't trust this administration. But by the way, I just read that the CBO was mistaken. We have 24 million people less in Obamacare than we were supposed to have. Isn't that amazing? So, you know, it's all of this stuff. And I think the worst thing is this idea that the borders and immigration have to be left wide open and bring in as many people as possible. And whatever happens, happens. Now, the president has never really defended his position on this, other than to say that's the kind of a country we are. But, you know, it's terrible to live through anyway. Anyway, here's a little bit of Al Green, 620 Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 1450. KOBE 523-1450, and little Al Green for you. We'll be right back to pick up. Well, I've got some weather news for you that you might find notable. A story about California. My sister and I got into a kind of an argument whether El Nino could refill California, and it basically has almost. And she's living over by San Francisco. We'll be right back. It is 6:24. And according to my sources, it's 62 degrees outside, which it's fairly warm. But we do have a wind warning that's coming up that's going to be 20 to 30 miles per hour later today. And then tonight it's going to be 30, 40, 50 miles an hour, gusts up to 60. So just be on your toes. All right. We've had an enormous amount of water come into America in the last year. And some of that's El Nino, et cetera. Others will tell you it's global warming. Of course, anything that is unusual as a weather event has got to be caused by global warming to these simplistic numbskulls. But anyway, right now, severe thunderstorm flash flooding threat south and Midwest Sunday, Wednesday and Thursday. All right, so this is once again coming up this corridor from about San Antonio over to all the way over to Florida. And they've, as you know, there was a lot of flooding in Louisiana and Texas, Mississippi, and in the last couple of weeks. And once again, you're seeing it come up there and all the way from Houston over to Jacksonville and all the way up to Cleveland and above. Thunderstorms are going to be then moving over to the East Coast. But I've been kind of fascinated by the claim that California was on this worst drought in a century, worst drought in 500 years or whatever they were calling it. Lake Oroville in California, they've got a number of lakes in California that they use to, you know, California is not the wettest state. So they have these especially up north, lakes that feed off of the snowfall coming out of the Sierra Nevadas. And so they have Lake Shasta is the biggest one. And I think that's 4 million cubic feet of water. And then Lake Oroville is the second biggest one. And a bunch of other one, Folsom Lake. And so many of these are man-made, but they're ways of storing water to get the people there, the farmers and the citizens, and what is it, 35 million people living in California. So anyway, here is a clip. Lake Oroville rises 27 feet in 5 days. If you can believe that, check this out.
Is bringing lake levels up across the north state. KRCR News Channel 7, Stephanie Barnes headed to Lake Oroville today and joins us now from our Chico newsroom with the latest water level. Stephanie.
Yeah, Allison, these rains have Lake Oroville levels rising dramatically. Water levels have gone up 54 feet in the last month, 27 of those feet in just the last 5 days. Let's show you Lake Oroville. This is fresh video I just shot a couple of hours ago. The Department of Water Resources tells me water is at 802 feet right now. Last year's high point was 764 feet. Our current water level puts the lake at 62% of capacity. And with the rain expected to continue, they are projecting the lake to rise another 30 feet.
The latest lake level projections show the lake rising to about 875, which is only 25 feet from the top. So that'd be 75 feet higher than we're looking at today, roughly 75 feet higher than we're looking at today. That would be 89% of capacity. But with these rains and more predicted to come throughout March, we may fill to the brim.
You heard that right. Lake Oroville could potentially fill to the top. Kevin Dossie with the Department of Water Resources says that means a number of great things, not the least of which will be increased recreation on the lake this summer. And that recreation has already begun. They have been able to open 4 of the 5 major boat ramps because of this rising water. Loafer Creek is the most recent.
All right. So you've got an enormous amount of water coming in up north in California and dumping a lot of snow in up in the Sierra Nevadas, but it's wonderful news for the farmers in California and overall for the people that are caught up in the drought, which was pretty much the whole state. And the state itself was on basically very minimal amounts of very minimal. I'm trying to multitask here. Very minimal amounts of water, cutting back, say, by 25%, which is quite a bit. And so all of these lakes up there are increasingly full. And as you heard that, it was, what was it, 54 feet rising. Can you imagine that? If Elephant Butte went up 54 feet in 1 month. And the lakes there got so full that they actually had to open the spillways at Lake Shasta in Oroville and some other places, I think Folsom Lake. So it was so full that they believe, you know, there was so much water coming in so fast that they didn't have any faith that they could absorb it all. And they wanted to bring it in a more, you know, just a little bit easier. So all of these lakes should be up to capacity in the north, at least. And then the southern lakes, I went around the whole state and looked at all the lakes, and all of the lakes, man-made and artificial lakes, are up, say, pretty much all of them, at least a half, if not more. So it's great news for California. Anyway, 631 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell here, 523-1450 to call in, and 805-61-802 text. And we're going to see Walt in about a half an hour. But we're going to come back and talk about Ted Cruz's sex scandal. Be right back. All right, so there is this very strange story out there that when I first saw it, I mean, I completely dismissed it, of course, because it seems so ridiculous. But that was based on the fact that Ted Cruz was a serious Christian and that he wouldn't cheat on his wife. And I have no idea, you know, I don't know anything about the guy. What I've seen of Cruz, other than Donna's interpretations of his legendary status and his future prophethood and coming into and other dumb ideas coming in, I do not claim the mantle of prophethood even for 1 second. But as you recall on this show, when Donna called up and in her own inimitable, irritating and very extremely self-righteous and unctuous way told me that Ted Cruz was a statesman and the rest were mere politicians. And I said, you know, we need to be very careful. We don't build these people up into messiahs. We don't need a messiah. We need a smart leader who's got some cojones, who comes in and stands up for what the people want, you know? And so anyway, it was only days after that that it came out that Ted Cruz had put out this lie. Now, you can call it a lie. You can call it anything you want, a mistake. But, I mean, so now, interestingly enough, friends, dear friends, I find it so odd that when they're asking Ted Cruz if he will say that he's never had an affair and he won't say it. I mean, what does that tell you right there? So look, I mean, there's all kinds of different people out there, and there's all kinds of different people in history, and different personality types get exposed at the highest levels. No pun intended, but you know, you've got people with driving ambition. Women find them very attractive. Men who are accomplished and intelligent, and especially famous and power women, are drawn to that like moths to the candle or to the LED. I think candles have been replaced by LEDs. Have you seen those in the store? You hit the button and they have a fake flicker in there, or they have a electronically created flicker and they're LEDs. But John F. Kennedy had I'm trying to remember how you pronounce it, satyriasis. It's like the male equivalent of, insatiable sexual desire, nymphomania, the male version of nymphomania. And LBJ said that he was irritated at John F. Kennedy's legacy because John F. Kennedy was a good looking guy and Lyndon Baines Johnson was kind of an ugly guy. But Johnson said, I've had more women this guy could ever dream of. You know, for a lot of these men, it's a perk. It's like being a rock star. So anyway, I wouldn't be surprised if I don't know anything about Ted Cruz, you know, and I'm not going to sit around and call him a statesman when we don't, you know, really even know what the guy's made out of. That's the purpose of having a campaign, is to get this stuff out there. And all right. So here is a little bit on the Ted Cruz sex scandals. One America News Network, OAN, with Liz Wheeler.
All right, first of all, Katrina, I don't want to legitimize slanderous gossip, but there is some tabloid trash that's been making the rounds now from Gossip Magazine, National Enquirer. I hate to even address it. I don't want to give them lifeblood for what they're doing. They're right. Accusing Ted Cruz of having extramarital affairs. They accuse you of being one of the women he's having an affair with. Do you want to address that quickly before we move on to more substantial issues?
Oh, you know, I'd love to, actually. It's totally false. I'm speaking for myself that there is zero chance that any of this is true. And it's a little disturbing the way that, obviously, it is a sleazy tabloid. But it's interesting how they sort of slime their way around some of the details, trying to avoid a lawsuit, which is not going to serve them well. The other thing is they're talking about she made her Instagram private last night, which it's not the case, because on a campaign, you have a social media policy.
So
my
all right, so this isn't as interesting as I'd hoped, but let's get over to I want to get to is this fact that – all right, so there's this weird – okay, so the National Enquirer comes out with this story, and in the story, it is stated that Ted Cruz has had five women. Now – there is a very weird, strange backstory that a campaign worker for Ted Cruz, one of these so-called bimbos, transfers over to Carly Fiorino's campaign, and then after she does that, then Ted Cruz gives the Fiorino campaign $500,000, and they said what was so weird about that is Ted Cruz hates Carly Fiorino's guts, and she feels similarly about him. So what would be the purpose of that? And they say, well, it's a cover up. It's a cover up of this stuff. So Then they asked Ted Cruz if he would categorically deny that he's had affairs. And he just, I guess, just, you know, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm trying to track it down, that he refused to do it. Well, I've got an article right here. Daily Mail, Ted Cruz dodges questions about whether he's always been faithful to his wife. As endorser Carly Fiorina leaps in to insist a declaration that he's not an adulterer is a dance to Donald Trump's tune. That says to me that he has, I mean, all other things being equal, that says to me that he has been unfaithful to his wife. Now, maybe in these days of sexual sophistication, nobody's faithful. 523-1450, if that's your opinion, 805-6180. I don't think that's true, but anyway, we'll take a break and come back and dig into this sex scandal a little bit more. Kelly O'Connell will be right back. It's a natural fact that I want to come back. Show me where it's at, baby. I mean, how did Carly Stinkerino get involved in this thing, you know? I mean, what business is it of hers, whether Ted Cruz, I mean, I find it interesting how these people hang around these campaigns, you know, like they're like flies at a picnic. Anyway, here's Carly Stinkerino defending Ted Cruz, who apparently they don't like each other. Politics makes for strange bedfellows, my friend. My friends, doesn't it?
Lockdown, more definitive.
And here we go.
This National Enquirer piece by telling us on the record that you've never been unfaithful to your wife.
But look, if I may.
No, I'm sorry. I asked the senator that question.
Well, I'm gonna comment, okay?
Do you have firsthand knowledge of his marriage?
I'm gonna comment. This is an example.
I can't really hear this, but when they asked Super Ted, the statesman, whether he'd had an affair, Carly Stinkerino steps in the way of the microphone and takes over. And said, this is an example of dancing to Ted's tune. All right. So if you haven't had an affair, all you have to do is say, I have not cheated on my wife. That woman, Miss Lewinsky. All right. Here is Roger Stone, the former campaign manager for Ted Cruz. How did this all start? Remember, Donald Trump is a counterpuncher. They published naked pictures of Trump's wife. You know, she used to be a model, and before she was the wife of a billionaire, and previous to that, about a year ago, Glenn Beck had suggested that his wife had been in lesbian porn, although they had never come up with an example of it. They never had any evidence. But anyway, here's Roger Stone. This is great. Check it out. Sue me immediately if it's not all true, says Roger Stone. This guy's very entertaining.
All right. We have Roger Stone, noted but New York Times bestselling author, longtime Republican political consultant, and former campaign advisor to Donald Trump, and the only person, as you heard Ted Cruz in the clip I just played you, the only person quoted on the record in this incredible National Enquirer story. Roger, good morning. Happy Easter. Thanks for getting up early for us on a Sunday like this.
Frank, great to be with you.
Roger, I don't know where to begin. Clearly, the Cruz campaign has blamed you for everything except kidnapping the Lindbergh baby. Why are – and everybody is acknowledging, even the New York Times in this article on this case yesterday, that this attempt to dig up these Cruz extramarital affairs was initially brought about by the Rubio campaign. Why are they making you the guy that everyone's deciding to blame?
Well, I guess it's somehow an attempt at deflection. Look, Frank, you've been in politics a long time. The only thing worse than being talked about. So I guess I have a brand, perhaps a brand for rough and tumble politics, a brand for the dramatic. But in this particular case, the private detectives who are specifically cited in the article in the National Enquirer were actually working for and paid by Marco Rubio. Now, I believe the Rubio campaign elected not to use this information. I believe it was collected as a hedge against some of the allegations about Rubio's personal life. And in the end, they elected not to use it. And of course, before you know it, he was out of the race. I believe in this particular case, the private detectives got paid twice. They got paid once when they did the original work for Rubio. They got paid twice when they, on their own, went ahead and sold it to the National Enquirer. The National Enquirer would acknowledge that they pay for information they can confirm. But in this case, I can tell you categorically, I did not plant the story with the National Enquirer. And then blaming Donald Trump for his campaign is somewhat outrageous. I never discussed this with Donald or with anyone in his campaign. All I did do when a longtime reporter from the National Enquirer, who I used to know when she was at the New York Post and prior and after that at the U.S. Daily Mail, the U.K. Daily Mail, called and asked for a comment, and I was happy to give a comment on the record, which I still believe to be accurate. If this is proven, it would be highly problematic for Ted's image, since it is built around his morale, his moral superiority, and his appeal to evangelical Christians.
Now, so that's a great point. I want to get into the facts of the story with you in just a minute. But
all right, so let's take a break here, and we'll come back and hear that. But all right, so that's what makes it news, is that he has run, as we've been reminded incessantly, he's running as a statesman, and he's part of this movement to take over the government with Christianity, which I'm all in favor of personally, but do it through the ballot box. Don't do it through the back room like a socialist. Anyway, we have a call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly Con Show is this.
Hi, Kelly. It's Sharon.
Good morning, Sharon. How you doing? Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
I find it really interesting that when CNN put the story out about there was a news story, and then on Ben Carson, it's suddenly the Cruz campaign that's doing it. And he can categorically deny it. And now somebody in the Trump camp puts out something, or maybe that's not fair. Somebody that says they're for Trump or anti-Cruz, just like Cruz's,
are we talking about
campaign.
I'm trying to follow this. Are we talking super PACs here?
Yes, we are talking super PACs.
All right, so
and
this
my
is what
understanding of federal law. Maybe you can confirm help me understand.
Well, let's forget about federal law for just a second, because let's deal with this directly. What happened is at some point there was a person in the Cruz campaign, and the Cruz campaign's been a little bit shady. They bought the rights to some pictures from Trump's wife. Now, that I think that's on the record. Marco Rubio supposedly developed the story of all the affairs Cruz had, because I guess, if somebody is Superman, you bring out some whatever the stuff it is that kills him, kryptonite or whatever. So there's all this infighting going on. Now Trump is saying that he didn't come out with this, but the reason it came out now, he didn't develop it, but the reason it came out now is because of the fact that they had printed that Super PAC had printed these naked pictures of Trump's wife and made some disparaging comments. That's what I know.
Yeah, I don't know. What I do know is that, anyway, from what I hear, is that the candidates themselves, both of them, cannot legally have anything to do with what super PACs do.
All right.
Now, Melania, whatever her name is, she consented to have those photos done. They're in GQ. They're all over the place.
Well,
they're
she
anywhere.
Was a model, and she took her top off. And, I mean, she's obviously,
but she's gorgeous. Absolutely.
Scintillating-looking lady. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So that's how she
has every right to do that.
She got every right to be naked. Now does the Super PAC have every right to print naked photos of Donald Trump's wife?
Why not?
Well, why not? All right.
He's the one that sold them.
All right. So
she sold them.
All right. So how do you feel about the fact that Ted Cruz gets up, is asked if he's had affairs, and all of a sudden Carly Stinkerino gets up and says he's not going to answer that?
Well, I didn't hear it, and I couldn't hear it here.
I couldn't play it loud enough. It was there's something wrong, but Scout's Honor, I'll find that thing and turn it. I'll blast it to the moon. But what is your opinion now?
Okay.
With Cruz.
Why is Carly Fiorina supporting him? That doesn't make any sense.
This is very weird. All right.
Him, why would she support him? It would make sense the other way around.
From what I understand, an aide of Cruz's went to her, and then they gave him $500,000. It looks and smells like a payoff, but I don't know anything else about it.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense, because why would Carly Fiorina then back him? She would just take the money and go.
That doesn't make any sense. She's like Peppermint Patty, you know, isn't she? Like half male, half female. But anyway, so let me ask you this. Do you still see Cruz as a statesman?
I do.
All
right. I base that on his actions in the Supreme Court, and I base that on his actions in
the
Senate.
Okay, question time. Should Christians or should conservatives forgive Ted if he has, plowed another man's field or has cheated or whatever? Should they set that aside and say this is still a great candidate?
Issues have anything to do with whether he's a great candidate or
frankly. All right. That's open-minded. I think it's more open-minded than people were a few decades ago.
It just slays me that people want change in government.
Yeah.
And, you know, Cruz went about it the right way, got elected, and then tried to change things in government with filibusters and laws and that sort of thing. And he's getting lambasted for it, whereas Trump is absolutely the most,
I agree.
And
then all of a sudden, another person comes along, a transgender robot named Carly, to really, you know. All right,
well,
so I'm running out of time. Any concluding thoughts? I'm running out of time here.
TedCruz.org.
Yeah, baby. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye-bye. Vote for Ted. Women love him, at least some women. Everybody hates Ted's guts, but some women love him. All right, 6:55, Kelly O'Connell. Maybe he was just tired of being alone, huh? AM Las Cruces, 1450, KOBE, 523-1450, 805-6180. All right, so here's a little more of that as we go into the next hour, just about.
But first, why should we care about who Ted Cruz is sleeping with? I've been very open about my problems with married women over the years. You know, you've certainly been known for a libertine lifestyle when it comes to, you know, romantic liaisons, to say the least. Why should we care who Ted Cruz is sleeping with?
Well, neither you nor I are running for president.
Right. Thank goodness.
And he is, and he holds himself out as a moral exemplar. And I think it's the hypocrisy, once again, that is problematic here. Where's his lawsuit? Where's his $100 million lawsuit against the National Enquirer? The National Enquirer has been sued before, in most cases unsuccessfully. But this is very much like the John Edwards case, when the Washington Post...
And Roger Stone goes on to say, if it's not true, sue me immediately. Ted Cruz is just tired of being alone, Kelly O'Connell. We're going to take a break in the air and come back with Walt.
Soon as you can. I guess you know that I love you so, even though you don't want me.
Well, good morning, 7:06, and we've got Walt here. And Walt, you were listening to the show a little bit coming in, and you've got your own thoughts about Ted Cruz and this scandal.
Well, I just thought your last caller made a very good point about Ted Cruz did, and we'll get to the scandal in a second, but Ted Cruz really did, you know, go to Washington. He did everything within his power to, you know, people. That's what made everybody so mad at him, was he wouldn't compromise. He wouldn't. And so he did shut down the government, and he did do all of these things that conservatives say they wanted to have done, And he just doesn't seem to get any credit for that. I mean, there's this new shiny object that has got everybody's attention. And
all right, let me ask you this. If there is a person who is, I mean, and I think there is something in the Bible somewhere that says that the gifts of God are not rescinded, something along those lines. If Ted Cruz, it turns out, has a taste for the ladies.
Oh, yeah.
Against his image.
And right. I did hear that discussion. It is an interesting point. I mean, Gary Hart, that was a killer. So that was what.
Would it be a killer today?
I don't think so. But I'm trying to think, was that 25, 30 years ago? I mean, at all. What do you get?
Monkey business.
Monkey business. Donna Rice. That's right. For those who don't remember, Gary Hart, there were all these rumors out there. And so in order to put the rumors to rest, Gary Hart called a press conference and he challenged the press to, if you can find any dirt on me, go ahead and find it. And, you know, what was it? A month, 2 months later, there's him with Donna Rice on his lap on a boat that was called the Monkus.
Yes. And, so, but I mean, you know, Gary Hart had said there's all of these rumors about him being a philanderer, which had followed him for quite a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a good looking, well spoken guy. And so he said, I don't cheat on my wife, but if you don't believe me, follow me. And then you know, they followed him.
But it seems to me like the rule has always been in the past kind of a don't ask, don't tell. I mean, FDR.
Well, JFK.
Of course, JFK and Marilyn Monroe. I mean, famously, happy birthday, Mr. President.
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
Yeah. But I want to say FDR in the closet with his secretary. And I mean, the rumors of obviously powerful men having sexual scandals or that nothing new about that.
There's nothing more attractive to a certain kind of woman than a powerful man.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't even talked about Bill Clinton and, you know, so obviously that's nothing new. And Democrats certainly have forgiven Bill Clinton. I mean, he is held up now as an elder statesman. There are incidents, and one in particular with Clinton, where, you know, he is alleged to have committed rape. And so Democrats have forgiven that. Democrats have traditionally held a lower standard, though. And Republicans have traditionally been the ones who have said, no, that's not acceptable in our party. But even that seems like the bar has lowered. Now, we're sort of assuming that there's enough smoke here that there's fire. I mean, we're holding this assumption, you know, holding this discussion,
Let me ask you, if you haven't committed adultery, what danger would there be in getting up and saying, I've never cheated on my wife?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, to me, that's the end all be. Let me ask you this, Walt, in your mind, are we living in an age when marital vows no longer mean anything?
I hope not. I mean, that would be sad, wouldn't it? I mean, all vows, but especially if you are a person of faith and you are standing in a church and you are making a vow to your God, that should mean something. I don't think that means you can never get divorced. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't think that means sort of the old traditional thinking that you are then tied for life. I think some of that has changed. But certainly in terms of fidelity.
If your wife turns into an ugly hag, you can pull a chute.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's Ted Cruz hiding behind Carly Stinkerino's skirt on infidelity question, and I'm hoping this has got the audio to take it over the top of the hill. Here we go.
National Enquirer piece by telling us on the record that you've never been unfaithful to your wife.
If I may.
No, I'm sorry. Ask the senator that question.
Well, I'm gonna comment. Okay.
Ted Cruz is just like any other politician. He says one thing in Manhattan. He says.
All right. So you can hear that in the beginning before Ted Cruz can answer. Carly Stinkerino says,
if I may.
Yeah, I'm gonna step in. I'm gonna walk to the plate for you. I find that bizarre.
Well, and I, you know, I, how did that finish? I didn't see at some point in that interview, did Ted Cruz step up and say, or did she give him the excuse why he didn't have to answer the question?
She gave him the excuse, but it cut away. And so let me see if I can find another example of this. But in my opinion, you answer that question because it is question that if you don't answer it, everybody assumes the worst.
That's right. A non-answer, I think, is an answer.
Yeah, let me see if I can find it right here.
You know, the energy and the...
All right, so I've got a long clip where it's at, but I'm going to have to track it down. But the clip that I had before that had it in it is not loud enough to hear. So,
but I take your point. If he was asked that directly and he was unable to come up with a direct answer, I think all of us, you know, make some assumptions from that.
We all do, even news people.
Yeah.
We've got a call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good, good. How you doing? And what's on your mind?
Well, I'm just sitting here listening to you guys talk about, you know, the Ted Cruz thing. You know, I think if a married man commits adultery, it is slightly damaging to his character. But the thing that is most damaging to his character is what he does when he is confronted with the adultery. It's not necessarily, you know, because we're all human. We all sin. We're all going to make mistakes. And men are very, it's very easy for a man to get entangled with a beautiful woman.
Good Lord. That is so true.
You know,
Rock Hudson.
But the thing is, more important
Rock Hudson
is how
didn't
we,
have this problem. But go ahead.
How we, our character is more important than how we deal with when we're confronted with.
But wait a second. Let me ask you a couple of questions as a follow up. Number one, what if he said to himself, "I cheated, and this is a continuation of the cheat. I'm not going to stand up here and admit it." Number one. Number two, what if he and his wife decided that, given the pressure and the isolation, that he was allowed to occasionally stray?
I would say that would probably be a hard, I you know, if him and his wife said that, you know, I find that hard to believe that two believers.
Well, Jeff,
would say,
that's right.
Would give permission for
that's
that.
That's true. Right. That's true. But what if he's been influenced by Glenn Beck, a notorious Mormon?
Well, I sure hope not.
But what you described there, though, was an open marriage, and that's not going to fly. You can't be a Republican presidential candidate and be for open marriage.
I think that you can be a president, period, whether you're Republican or Democrat or independent.
I agree.
And have open marriage.
I agree.
Well, I mean, look, they say these.
Whoa.
Are you there, Jeff? So sounds like your microwave's ready. But anyway, let's thanks for the call and have a good day.
Thank you.
Don't know what that was.
He could be a trucker, and
yeah.
You know, his Egg McMuffin might be ready. But all right, so
but here's my question.
Go ahead.
You're a Republican voter, does anybody believe that Donald Trump has been a faithful husband?
No, I mean it's on record.
Yeah.
He hasn't, right?
Okay. So that's my point.
But I want to drag this out here. I don't think there was ever the sense that Donald Trump was running on the idea
No.
that I've been perfect and I'm ready to lead the country.
No, that's right. It's the hypocrisy. But if you are a person of faith, it's more than just the hypocrisy. It's the deed. I mean, the deed is a sin.
Yes. All right. So the millennial generation are finding out about sex through pornography. And pornography is almost by definition adultery, isn't it? Or it's at least it's fornication, according to the Bible.
It's not just their generation, is it? I mean, I don't want to talk about my growing up, but my generation took advantage of that medium as
well.
Yeah,
but there were that was the printed page and everything,
and
it was surreptitiously passed around. Pornography is gaining widespread.
Well, yeah, it's a different beast on the internet. It absolutely
yeah.
is.
Yeah, so, I mean, I just think that, you know, and this is interesting. I believe that the statistics show that women's opinions are changing on pornography, where there used to be a lot of resistance. Now, there's a lot of women that are watching it, and that, you know, in a sense, when you're watching pornography, you're separating sex from emotion, and women kind of famously put those two things together
sure.
more than men.
No, I think that's true. But it you know, it used to be, you know, once again, I don't want to talk about my own childhood.
Go ahead. Let's do a therapy session
it
here.
It used to be that you had to drive to the seedier part of town, and you had to go into the establishment, and you had to purchase whatever it is that you wanted to or, you know, that was for the more hardcore stuff. Or you could go into the 7-Eleven and get, you know, the stuff that was behind the counter.
Do you remember any of the titles?
I have talked more about this than I care to in terms of my own experience.
But okay,
the point I am making is you don't have to do any of that now. All you have to do is have a computer and an internet connection.
And kids would be better, probably all things being equal, at getting around child blockers than adults would be in setting them up.
Well, you know, I hope not. And it depends on the age of the kid, obviously, and the diligence of the adult. But it is certainly a challenge for parents. I don't question that.
In any event, folks, we'll get back and talk about the Cruz phenomenon a little bit more. I'll have that clip for you. We got Walt here in a rare reflective moment, recounting his
stroll down memory lane.
Is recounting his idyllic childhood?
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. 717 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOB, 523-1450, and 805-6180-2. Text Will. We will be right back to talk about the Cruz missile and his targeting five different women at least. Be right back. And this is dedicated to Ted and Heidi Cruz. And I really mean this.
I'm so in love with you. Whatever you want to do is all right with me. 'Cause you make me feel so brand new. In my life.
All right, so anyway, 7:21 here with Walt, and I've got the clip where Ted Cruz, along with Carly Stinkerino, they're doing a news conference for no clear reason. March 28, 2016 is the date from this, 3/28/16. It just happened yesterday. There's no reason for Carly Fiorino to be with somebody she hates, and likewise Ted Cruz to be with her, and a Daily Mail reporter asked him the elephant in the room question.
You were raised by a strong woman.
Down more definitively this National Enquirer piece by telling us on the record that you've never been unfaithful to your wife.
But look, if I may.
No, I'm sorry. I asked the senator that question.
Well, I'm gonna comment, okay?
Do you have firsthand knowledge of his marriage?
I'm going to comment. This is an example of the media playing to Donald Trump's tune. Donald Trump is a serial philanderer, by his own admission. And in a week when we have had a terrorist attack in Brussels, a shooting on Capitol Hill, the President of the United States in the baseball stands with Raul Castro and insisting that he be photographed in front of a portrait of Che Guevara with the two Castro brothers, we are talking about a scurrilous, ridiculous piece of the National Enquirer. Why do you all dance to Donald Trump's tune? Let's talk about the issues, please.
Well, that's fine, Senator. I'm sorry. This is a very serious question about your character. If the answer is yes, I've always been faithful, but just to say
sir, I recognize that you love going into the gutter.
with no, these kinds. Sir, I'm going to answer your question. Stop interrupting. Stop interrupting.
Okay.
What is your publication?
The Daily Mail. The world's most read.
They've chased my granddaughters.
Look, I'm going to give a very brief answer to your question, which is that the National Enquirer story is complete garbage. It is total lies. It was planted by Donald Trump's henchmen. And I don't think the people of Wisconsin or the people of America have any interest in tabloid trash. I'm going to focus on the issues that matter for the American people. Go ahead.
You've been around Wisconsin the last couple of
years. All right. So is that a blanket denial?
No, that's a non-answer. He was asked, have you always been faithful in your marriage? And his answer was, the story was a bunch of trash. That's not it.
Is not, have you cheated on your wife?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, this girl is Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And Carly Snickerino, he's a serial philanderer. And
so I hadn't heard that before, but you're correct. I mean, I think your analysis of that is correct. He was given the opportunity to flat out deny it, and he passed. So you can make that what you will.
I wonder what percentage of politicians, whatever beliefs they claim to carry, have cheated, as a relation to their job. Because let's face it, I mean, certain things make men extraordinarily more attractive to women.
Absolutely. And as we were talking about earlier, I mean, history is just replete with examples.
I hope one of them is having a talk show.
Which one is that?
No, that's me.
A little
joke there.
Okay. Well, it's early in the morning. Quite risen to that position of
power.
Well,
I mean, yeah, I haven't yet.
Yeah.
I haven't become. Yeah. So a little joke there, but I mean, the fact of the matter is, as you and I stated off the air, there is something about Ted Cruz that makes you want to punch him in the face.
Well, and I think he would seem to hold himself to a different standard. That's the thing about Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump doesn't.
Now, here's the thing. I for some strange reason, I mean, I've been around a lot of religious people in my life, but there is something about Ted Cruz that reminds me more of a politician than it does a religious person.
We were talking off the air. I think when you are as sincere as he seems to be about every single issue, then that can't be real sincerity. That has to be ginned up. So that has, and when you talk in dramatic pauses about every single issue that you talk about, pretty soon people look at that as a contrivance and not a real
thing. You're an actor. All right.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, the president does that too. Here's a little bit of from Donald Trump on this. I don't blame Donald Trump for this, because the super PAC did put out a naked picture of his wife, and it's his, you know, and Donald Trump said that he's not the one who planted it in the Enquirer. But anyway, here's a little from Cruz.
Okay, you too. So I want to get to some policy issues, but first I've got to ask you about this nasty fight that has broken out between you and Ted Cruz. Do you categorically guarantee that nobody on your campaign, nobody tied to your campaign, had anything to do with this National Enquirer story?
Totally. I had nothing to do with it. The campaign had absolutely nothing to do with it. He's got a problem with the National Enquirer. I have no control over the National Enquirer. I didn't even know about the story. I just got it last night. Somebody sent it to me over to read so I could at least see what it said. I had nothing to do whatsoever with the National Enquirer, and neither did the campaign. And I will tell you, for him to try and say that I had to do with it, to try and put the shoe on the other foot, is disgraceful. And by the way, he's the one that started it. And from what I hear, he and his campaign went out and bought the cover shoot. Melania did a cover shoot for GQ, a very strong modeling picture, no big deal. But it was a cover shoot for GQ, big magazine, and it was, you know, fine. And from what I hear, somebody bought the rights to it, and he was the one, or his campaign bought the rights, and they gave it to the super PAC. And just so you understand, that super PAC is very friendly to Ted Cruz. He knew all about it 100%. So he started it. I didn't start it.
But let me ask you, this story, this that we see in the National Enquirer, this kind of rumor mongering, should this kind of thing just be off limits? Do you condemn this story?
I don't care. I mean, really, I don't care. The National Enquirer did a story. It was their story. It wasn't my story. It was about Ted Cruz. I have no idea whether it was right or not. They actually have a very good record of being right, but I have absolutely no idea. Frankly, I said, I hope it's not right.
Let's go back to the thing that started this all off. You mentioned it, of course, in fairness, you did not start this. This started with that Super PAC ad featuring Melania. But in response...
And he's very close to the Super PAC, just so you understand. And there's no way in a million years that Super PAC did that without his absolute knowledge. Don't forget, I call him Lion Ted. I call him that because nobody that I've known a lot tougher people over the years in business, but I've never known anybody that lied like Ted Cruz.
But let me ask you, though, because in response, you said in that tweet that you would spill the beans on Heidi Cruz. What did you mean by that? Spill what beans?
Well, there are things about Heidi that I don't want to talk about, but I'm not going to.
Hey, guys, I'm here with Mark.
All right. So anyway, there is, wow, a lot of stuff there.
Yeah, we got that turned off just in time.
Well, that was an ad. They okay. Not what you think it was. In a long clip, YouTube will cycle ads.
We spent too much time this morning. You know, and let's move on.
Well, I mean, I'm just curious. I do think that covers some of the ground there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I found Donald Trump to be an honest person. Statements that he said in the past and stuff, but. I found that generally speaking, when he says something and I go and research it, he's accurate. And maybe not.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. But what I do love about that sort of look inside of Trump world, he started it. And so in Donald Trump's, you know, and not just him, obviously that position is very popular among supporters.
All right,
that
so
the other guy starts it, and then whatever you do in retaliation, it's fair game.
But he's saying that he didn't have anything to do with the story, whether that's true or not.
Yeah.
A Super PAC publishes a nude photo with a scandalous statement next to it of his wife, and Ted Cruz, I believe, knew about it.
The scandalous statement is this could be your next first lady. That was the scandalous statement.
All right, so...
And to be clear,
well, that's a reason to vote for him.
This wasn't a photo that somebody had shot, like the ESPN reporter, where somebody shot photos, you know, in her hotel room where she wasn't aware of it. This was, you know, she was a professional model posing for a magazine, and so this wasn't something that they dug up. I mean, this was something that was published in a magazine that I assume sold millions of copies.
Well, all right. So from what I was listening to, I don't think GQ does nudity. If it was part of a GQ shoot and they bought the rights to the pictures and got nude pics as part of that.
And I haven't seen, all I've seen is the photo that they show on TV. And what I heard them say was that when they blur it out, it makes it look worse than it is.
All right.
So, well, but my point is this. I guess my point is the scurrilous thing was this was put out by a pack called Make America Awesome, which is not a Ted Cruz pack. It's an anti-Donald Trump pack, which I guess you could argue are the same thing. But
yes.
Cruz could also argue that he had no involvement with it. They put out it was a photo, like I said,
right.
from a magazine shoot. And the words below it is this could be your next first lady or you can vote for Ted Cruz.
That's a tough call on that one.
But it's not scurrilous. I mean, it's...
All right. So anyway, that's another reason to vote for Donald Trump. But so if this brings to the fore, it brings to the surface the fact that Ted Cruz is a womanizer, is it worth it?
Oh, absolutely.
In your opinion, yeah.
But the other thing I love about the Trump part there was, I hope it's not true. You know, I heard that Ted Cruz is a Canadian and he may not be able to run. I hope that's not true.
That would be horrible if
that were true.
We've got a phone call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
Absolutely hilarious. This is beyond the dimensions of normalcy. I can't get it. You conservatives are in the woods of the woebegone. And wackadoodle.
Walt is not a conservative.
Unbelievable.
Walt
John
is not.
John Kerry is 100%
guy,
right. When
Frankie.
You guys are an embarrassment
Frankie,
to the world.
Frankie, police. Walt is not a conservative.
I'm talking the universal.
I know. Oh, yeah, but hold on. Wait, back off the adjectives
individual.
For a second there. Go ahead, Walt.
Well, no. Frankie isn't talking about me. Frankie is talking about the state of the Republican race.
That's right.
I mean, who cares? It's entertaining. And, you know, Hillary is on the verge, supposedly, of getting indicted. And there's, you know, your party, you know, Sanders goes to Washington and gets 80% of the vote and doesn't even get half the delegates. And you're proud of yourself?
See, there you go. In the words of Ronnie Reagan, right? There you go again, right? Instead of sticking on the topic, you want to
No,
deflect.
But you're
you
the
want
one
to
who's...
You want to talk.
This is really
you,
hard
see,
to deal with today. Frankie.
Oh, look at you,
God,
terrible
is this pre-recorded?
Blah, blah, blah. Come on, Kelly. You guys are a laughing stock. We had...
Frankie,
we
please.
We liberal, learned liberals,
Frankie,
by the way.
Frankie,
are the adults in a room.
Please. You're, there's a, this is a content-free speech here, you know? You're not even saying anything. So anyway, Frankie, thanks for the call. Have a great day.
All right. See you, Frankie.
I can't take that anymore. All right, so we'll take a break here and come back. What do you want to talk about? Is there anything local?
Yeah, there is. That $3 million verdict against the city, we could get into that a little bit.
And the motion by Barella's attorney to drop the suit and everything.
That's
we'll
right.
be back. We'll maybe get into a little more politics, but we'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. 523-1450, and for your text, 805-6180. Oh.
Since we've been together, ooh, loving you forever.
All right, so we got some stuff, but here, and we were just talking about Bernie Sanders and what's going on. But Elton John hits back at baseless sexual harassment lawsuit filed by a former bodyguard. I looked up his bodyguard, Jeffrey Wenninger, was a he won the Medal of Valor when he was working for the LAPD. So. Good reputation, but he said that Elton had twisted his nipples and said, "You gorgeous thing," and also said, "Get your todger out, say hello to Uncle Elton." I won't.
Yeah, clearly inappropriate.
I won't translate that for you, but todger does have a certain meaning in the UK. But anyway, all right. So I'm saying, how is it possible that Bernie Sanders, and we are going to talk about some local stuff, but I just want to get this out since we were both kind of reacting to
it.
Bernie Sanders goes into Washington, gets 80% of the vote, and the upshot is he, you know, doesn't get his share of the delegates. I mean, it's just so – I'm not a Bernie backer, and I don't have I have marginal interest in that race, but that just seems – like the deck is stacked against the guy.
Fundamentally unfair, I think, is how it seems.
Yeah.
I think both the Republican and the Democratic parties have their sort of quirky nature in terms of how they do these things. And we're going to see this play out, obviously, I think, at the convention, the Republican convention in Cleveland, and maybe at the Democratic convention as well. Sanders is already laying the groundwork and on the Democratic side, it's all coming down to what the difference between pledged delegates, which is what you earn with the vote. And then on top of the pledged delegates, they have what they call super delegates, which are, I guess the word elite is what you hear all the time, the party elite. It's the state speaker of the House, those kinds of people. And what we saw 8 years ago with the Obama race was that at one point, all of the superdelegates were on Hillary Clinton's side. But as Obama started winning the pledged delegates, at some point there was growing pressure on those superdelegates that, listen, if the majority of the people pick Obama, you can't throw this the other way. You have to go with the majority.
Yeah.
And that won out. At the end of the day, that argument won out. Right now, all of the superdelegates are on Hillary's side. I mean, it's ridiculous. Coming out of one of the northeastern states, I forget what it was, but he won like 70% of the vote. And she came out of that with one or two more delegates because she got all of the superdelegates. Well, that can't be allowed to stand if at the end of the process he has more pledged delegates than her. I think those superdelegates are going to have to switch. And the other amazing thing is if that happens, I think he will be the stronger candidate. I think he will have a better chance to beat Donald Trump or whoever than Hillary Clinton.
So, but I mean, he doesn't have any chance in the general election, does he? I mean,
that's what I'm saying. I think he'll have a better chance than she will, and I think she will have a more than 50% chance. So, yes, my answer is I think he'll have an outstanding chance to beat Donald Trump.
All right. So, I mean, have you heard anything from your sources on the chances of her getting indicted? Because she's getting getting interviewed. Do you think there's zero chance?
No. I'm shaking my head. My sources on that are, you know, the news media, just like everybody else's sources. And, you know, it seems like it has played out the way we expected it, or I expected it to play out, where, you know, every few weeks there's this other story or this other drip, drip, drip kind of thing, but nothing yet has fundamentally changed the narrative. And so if that is the case, and from what I am hearing from people who do know about this kind of thing, is that it seems like they are getting to the point where they are conducting the interviews that you conduct at the end of the investigation. So it does. That's the only thing I could say is
it's winding down.
It seems like it's winding down.
All right. All right. So I've got a text here from Kathy, which is just epically long here, but I got to get through.
Well, call in, Kathy. You can
call
us yourself.
Come on, call in. Everybody loves you. Oh, would it be proper etiquette to submit to your beliefs and hold no opinion of my own on religion? All right. So Kathy said, this kind of rankled me a little bit, that I had done this thing on Friday to investigate what the earliest colonists believe, because I had said they were religious and she said they weren't religious. And so I found out that the two opening colonies, Jamestown and Plymouth, Jamestown was a group of upper class people and then poor people. Neither one had any experience with farming. When they showed up, they didn't plan anything. They started looking for gold. And it was just one of these kind of these things that kind of.
How did they survive?
Well, they got the Indian. They put a lot of. But they didn't. Here's the thing. They didn't survive. They lost an incredible number of people through disease. And they put it the place it was in the wrong place. They were in a swamp and they had brackish water. They had all of these problems. They kept getting new reserves from England. They were leaving. They were sailing away from Jamestown to find a new place, and ships came in to reinforce. But Jamestown was not a huge success until they turned to tobacco. But the people there, one of the reasons that they set up Jamestown was in general to spread Christianity. Now, I wouldn't say it was necessarily a Christian undertaking. It seemed to me like it was a business undertaking. But the fact that they wanted to go and find free gold and stuff, it left a bad impression. But Plymouth learned from the mistakes of Jamestown, and they put this compact together, which sets the foundation later for the Constitution and everything. And it was transparently a religious undertaking. And these people, the first group was Anglicans, Church of England. The second group was separatists. Puritans, what we call now Puritans, pilgrims, whatever, that they're separating from England so that they can live out their religion unmolested. And that is really the foundation. That's kind of the template that America was made on. And then later, by the time the founders get there, is the Age of Enlightenment. So they're not as religious, but it's still, you know, kind of based on this Christian worldview. Anyway, we'll take a little break here and come back. What do you want to get into?
Well, let's talk about this local stuff. We've got 15 minutes at the end. Yeah. So,
all right. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450, 805 6180 to text, and I'll try to wade through Kathy's epic rant. Be right back. Seven 47 flying the friendly skies here. All right, so what's going on locally?
Well, the two things we talked about earlier. One, the first one is the $3 million settlement against the city. This was the case of the police detective who was – there was an internship program, and he was had a high school girl in his police car.
Mark Garcia.
Yeah, that's correct. And sexually assaulted a high school girl in his police car. I mean, just I wrote an editorial that's going to run, I think, this Sunday, and I had forgotten about this, but it's not just one isolated incident. I mean, this guy, there were all kinds of red flags that somebody should have.
They knew or should have known.
Yeah, and one of those red flags being that he had sex in his patrol car. This wasn't the first time that happened. He had sex in his patrol car with the wife of a coworker, a fellow officer. And so that is part of the $3 million verdict. It wasn't just that this one outrage. And the other thing, just to put a nice little bow on it, is his job at the time was he was the detective who was doing the child abuse cases.
How convenient.
So, yeah. So the $3 billion verdict wasn't just how heinous the event was and how horrible it was. It was a culture that existed within the department that allowed for that kind of thing to happen. And I do think it has changed. We have a new chief since then, but, one of the complaints that this girl had was that the detective would make sexual jokes and innuendos among his superiors with her in the room, in the presence, and everybody would go along with the joke. I mean, she described it as a cesspool.
Wow.
So,
you think that this is going to have an impact on that?
Well, like I said, there's a new chief. I think there is a new culture. I'm not an insider into the police department, but I have certainly never heard of those kinds of allegations since. And you hope that this was, one guy who, for whatever reasons, there were red flags that went up for whatever reason. They didn't catch those red flags, but obviously he's gone and he moved forward. But, listen, this comes after the Slevin verdict when we lost $9.5 million. That's $3 million, that.
And there have been other verdicts recently.
That's exactly right.
So where does the money come from?
Kim Stewart. Well, it comes from roads. It comes from parks. It comes from senior citizen centers. It comes from all of the libraries, all of the things that we want government to spend our money on. And we won't be spending our money on those things because of the stupid actions, in this case, of a police detective and the inability of the department to one, catch that, and two, to allow for that kind of culture to exist.
So dreadful. All right. So
there's that. And then there's the Chris Barella case, which we just had on the news. And I don't know what's going to happen there, but we're hearing that. Well, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, from a legal standpoint, if the district, if the cops arrest somebody and the district attorney has a hard time bringing its case forward, that normally means that the evidence is not there to support the charges. Now, that would be a disaster for Kiki.
It would. It absolutely would. And we note that, we were talking off the air that Barella is being defended by Michael Stout, who does have a reputation as one of the more effective defense attorneys in town. He defended Judge Murphy, the charges against him, and I think they ended up with a petty misdemeanor by the time that was all done. So,
yeah, and I mean, Stout did his job well, and Stout is also a person who vigorously attacks the grand jury.
Yeah,
right? At least he a lot of attorneys don't want anything to do with the grand jury,
right?
Because it's a mini trial with no holds barred. You can bring in evidence that's not accessible in a courtroom, and if your client goes in there and testifies, that testimony is not going to be used to exonerate him. It's going to be used to advance the charges. So it is very dangerous, but he's supposed to be an expert at that.
But in terms of your question about the impact on Kiki, I mean, if all the charges end up being dropped, or if this gets settled for some kind of petty misdemeanor,
it'd look terrible.
It's certainly in the court of public opinion. And we throw on top of that what we were talking about off the air, Peter Goodman's column, where he brought to light the fact that Kiki received two very large donations out of state from the owners of a private jail company. And so what's that all about?
Which seems weird. And I was saying, possible explanation is maybe this is somebody, Kiki was involved in federal policing. And so it quite easily could know people from other,
maybe
agencies, or from his past that is working in another state, and that maybe he just sent out an email, I'm running for sheriff, would you give me a donation?
Maybe, but you certainly have to ask the question, given his actions and given the fact that from day one, he has made it very clear that he wanted to take that jail over.
Exactly.
And there was a clash between him and Barella from the day Kiki took office.
All right, so let's take a break here. I'm here with Walt Rubel, the editorial page editor from the Sun News. And we'll come back. I've got a couple of texts to read you. We'll be right back. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, Cali O'Connell, 523, 1450. 18, anyway, we'll be back.
Loving you, weather. I'm so good.
All right, so here is Kathy's screed. Oh, would it be proper etiquette? And she had texted me about, that I should try to turn this show into a religious nonprofit, which I found it irritating. Anyway, would it be proper etiquette to submit to your beliefs and hold to no opinion of my own? Religion is always and has been a method of controlling the masses after you tell them how to believe, no free thinking involved. It's one thing to express your beliefs and hope others follow, quite another to have them imposed on you in what is supposed to be a free society. The religious right is just as fanatical as Muslim extremists. And yes, because of that, we will spend years fighting religious wars, each group trying to impose its flawed beliefs on the rest of the world. I'm with John Lennon. Imagine no religion, too. As for etiquette classes, which I suggested to her. I guess that might be politically correct, but I thought you were opposed to that. And then she says, Kelly, let Frankie talk. He's sweet, blah, blah, blah. All right. So anyway.
Set Frankie free.
Yes. Let my people go. Particular view of religion, just because we're running out of time, is the Marxist view that religion is to control masses.
That's
okay.
True. Well, it's his quote, so. Yeah.
Oh, Cruz. All right. So I just want to get through some of these texts. How do you feel about Hillary wanting to transgender, like Big Bob, to be able to go into the bathroom with your little kids?
Get off of that. Oh, my goodness. This thing with the bathrooms. Well, we're going to have to talk about that when we have more time. Just get off.
Make the cops pay for their crap is another one forward. Now that the FBI has managed to hack into the terrorist cell phone, without Apple's help, we can only hope they find Hillary's number in it. Just shut off Frankie, Kelly. Why do you cater to that obnoxious, ill-mannered Frankie? So there's both sides. All right. We got just 2 minutes left here, but I don't know. The race is still exciting, you know?
No, it's exciting. It's nasty on one side and exciting on the other side, but both of them could go to the convention.
Well, the Clintons lectured Sanders, you're not going to get another debate until you act in a more well-mannered way. So they're claiming that Sanders is he's acting out.
We may have seen our last debate. I mean, I think Trump and Hillary may have decided that's not going to help us from here on in. I think we may have seen our last debate in the primaries.
All right. And so anyway, well, we want to thank you for coming in as always, Walt.
Yeah, and here's the thing. We are less than half the way through the process.
Wow.
We are voting in June in New Mexico.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Well,
this little forgotten state might hold the key to the
inside. We will have a say.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
The key to the kingdom. Well, thanks for tuning in. Really enjoyed spending some time with you. And, we're going to pick it up and do it again tomorrow, 22 hours later, but we'll have some more breaking stories and great stuff to talk about. I'm going to take you out with a dedication to Ted and Heidi Cruz, Al Green, Let's Stay Together. Have a great day. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. Ciao.
Boom.